Hello and welcome to the Lincoln Cast for the week of March 7th, 2014. My name is Thurbleton, and joined with me today is the Lincoln Cast News Ombudsman, Shimboy.
Yes, here we are recording this podcast for the first time this week.
Yes, certainly not recording it a second time after the audio system broke down halfway through. Also joining with me today is the unofficial, not really sanctioned publisher of ArenaNet, in that he buys stuff from them all the time. Shimboy. Or not Shimboy, Squiddle.
Hey, what?
Well, yes, you know, sometimes you have to throw some money at this game because it's the only way to actually experience it if you spend some gems.
I've done this intro way too many times this week. Maybe you Swiss? Swiss banks, maybe?
I don't know.
And Durin's here as well. Oh.
Just Durin's here.
Yeah, whatever. Newly built PC Robotron Durin. Mecha Durin is here.
I play Guild Wars 2.
You were right. Before.
And this is the, for folks who don't know, this is the general gaming with a big focus on Guild Wars 2 podcast called the Lincoln Cast. This will be the Guild Wars 2 side of it. The non-Guild Wars ones are called the Scotch Casts. And I guess starting things off, we're going to talk about the fighting back of Lion's Arch.
Right. It's fucking late. It's the second time we're talking about this. So we're just going to get right into it.
Let's do it.
The first thing I have bolded on these show notes is full spoilers because of reasons.
Yes, so. we are just going to talk about everything with this update. We definitely recommend folks play this update. The big spoiling parts start on the top of the hour in Lion's Arch. So get in there, try them out. But otherwise, we're going for it. So, Shimboy.
Okay. You can warp into LA. I'm just going to go down this list. This is going to be very mechanical.
All right. Okay.
Like I said,
no more beating around the bush. Yeah,
This is totally not the second time I'm doing this. This is the first time I'm doing this week.
And also, for folks who don't know, we've been like Google. We use Skype. We're trying to go to Google Hangouts, but every time we try to go to Google Hangouts, we just start fiddling with the effects, and then realize that we should probably. Record this podcast. We wasted an hour with these cake and prop noises.
Starting at 11:30 p.m. Like, what is our problem?
It's because we're happy.
Man, I'm the only one on the East Coast who has to deal with it being super late right now.
It's why I live on the West Coast now.
Anyway,
we can warp into LA normally. Well, most
you don't need to
parts of LA.
The waypoints near the borders you can warp into.
Yeah, it's still hot zone. Still. Action going on. The hottest.
Including, included in this hotness is everywhere, all the time champions.
Oh, yes.
Like, there are a whole bunch of, Spider Queen. There's, a weapons dude. There's some dude who reflects all the time. I don't remember what he actually is. No, he's a pain in the ass because he reflects all the time.
It's a hot mess of loot-topia. All the loots you could possibly want.
Achievement-topia.
Oh, yes.
Each one of these champions that are all around have achievements tied with them. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Really, really special ones. I remember my first time going through those. I did a fair number just off the fly without even knowing that they were achievements. It's just don't get hit by the AoEs on a certain guy. It's like, well, I don't want to do that normally.
Most of them are don't get hit by the boss's mechanic or don't let the boss do its thing. Like, because there's a spider that summons cocoons that goes and noms on to gain health back. And but you can kill the cocoon. So the achievement for that is kill the spider without letting him nom on a cocoon. Stuff like that. That's a scientific term?
Yeah, that's industry terms.
Yeah.
We are legit mechanics engineers.
Friend of the show, Josh Foreman, told me that inside ArenaNet, nom is a technical term.
Oh, okay.
Like,
as long as we're keeping it professional.
But like, not in the Vietnam term.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right, let's make sure about that.
No, the Aether Blades are not secretly VC. No. Anyway, so you have all those.
What about the Mold Alliance? They dig those tunnels.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Okay, we're getting somewhere with this.
Investigative journalism. All right, what else about the retaking of Lion's Arch?
There are you can't escort people out anymore. That's not a thing. That part is over. But there are still the miasma events, like the hey, here's waves of enemies, just sort of kill them events.
We're more defusing the miasma. Most of it's bled out into the ocean.
Yeah, that's why if you look at the map now, LA is not just that weird rust color on the map. But yeah, at the top of the hour, or actually 5 minutes before the hour, three big assault knights show up. There's one near where fractals are. There's one on the beach near the like monument. And then there's one over near where the lion statue is.
No, it's – are they just the same boss over – like
the they're the same boss.
Okay.
They're colored. There's red, green, and blue. Red is south. Blue is near the lion and green is on the beach. They'll show up 5 minutes before the hour and then they just sort of chill and levitate for 5 minutes and then become like hostile, if you will, at the top of the hour. So it gives you time to see where they are on the map and get there. Then once they go hostile, you have 15 minutes to kill all of them. You don't have to die within any certain time of each other. They just sort of have to die within 15 minutes in general.
Cool.
And they changed it because... Did you do it before the patch? I guess that was yesterday.
I guess so. We seemed to get them down like clockwork at the same time. I don't know.
Because what people were doing was sort of, you know, zerging on one, then moving to the next, then moving to the next. And yesterday, I guess Thursday, they added a patch where the attunement that you need, which previously just made you do extra damage, is now required to do any damage. And it's 50 per boss. So it forces people, say in a map of 150 people, instead of having all 150 kill one, then move on to the next, you need to spread them out evenly. So it actually has made it a bit harder.
So it's, there's still the loose timer of like, what, 20 minutes to defeat the bosses, but there's not a timer to
15 minutes.
Okay. But there's not a timer to defeat the bosses within a set time of each other, which is a common mechanic in MMOs. So
never really was.
That's a nice little like soft cap or suggestion of like, hey, let's not super zerg these.
Yeah. So those are pretty simple. For the first quarter, so from 100 to 75, and then from 50 to 25% of their health, they reflect conditions. So condition builds are bad news. But other than that, they're pretty straightforward. Dodge their big AoEs and then just sort of whack on them with assuming you have the buff on you. So then once those are dead, you go into the Breachmaker, which is the big astral thing, which all of us did a few hours ago.
Did we?
And failed.
Yeah, we failed because people are – that's the – outside of it bugging, which all those bugs have since been fixed, that's the only time I've seen that fail. Even like when it succeeded when it was the first time anyone was going in there.
So congratulations, Durin Squiddle, for being part of the world first of failing that fight.
I would like to say that it was mostly probably 89.9% my fault we failed probably because I'm a horrible thief.
And I doubt it. Doubt it's that high of a percentage?
Yeah, why didn't you just one-shot the boss with your OP?
I know.
Why didn't you just backstab the boss to death?
Exactly. That's you know, cloak and dagger, right?
Yeah, you go inside.
Heartseeker, stealth,
stab guys more.
Yeah,
yeah, come
yeah. Just Heartseeker that still works, right?
Yeah, and then yeah, and these call thieves, and then they attack, and then you recharge, and then you attack again, and that's it.
You know, I'm beginning to realize why people write in saying that we don't know Jack about Guild Wars 2 because we jokingly troll that we don't know Jack, but we don't actually explain the part where we know what we're talking about.
I mean, you can. The best way to play a DPS thief is cloak and dagger backstab. Like, there's no real discussion to be had there.
All right, but anyway, so there's discussion to be had about what's going on inside that Breachmaker and what's that fight about.
Yes, this is a big hologram. It's not really actually Scarlet. She's there, but you can't do anything to her. Basically, it's the same sort of mechanic where you need buffs to do damage to it. Except you do zero damage without them and you sort of do more damage for each one you have and you only do full damage if you have all three, as in red, blue, and green, and they're kind of all over the place. It's a triangular shaped arena and she just sort of shoots lines of lasers at you. That part's kind of boring. It takes kind of too long, but whatever. That happens until the hologram is down to 25%. And then she sort of splits into three smaller holograms. Again, a red, a blue, and a green one. And you need a specific buff to do damage to each one, you know, color coordinated. Red shoots out fire everywhere. Green, like, pulses damage on players and reflects. And then blue is really only weak to conditions. So basically, yeah, you need condition damage people to kill the blue one. People in melee are probably pretty good for green, except when you have damage on, you need to get the hell out of there or you're going to kill everyone else. And red, just sort of, you can DPS, whatever. It's not a thing. Now, at this point, one of two things can happen. You can kill them all within, I think it's 20 or 30 seconds of each other.
Which is what happened me with the first time I ran it.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen a few times. So you saw it happens. The big hologram sort of just reforms and moves on to the next phase.
And actually, I assumed what would happen if we had failed was, and this is just based off previous MMOs I've played, boss fights and whatnot, that one of their health would jump up a large amount.
They would, like, yeah, one of them or all of them would gain health back.
Yeah, but that's not what happened, surprisingly.
Yeah, what happens is they split into, instead of like legendaries like they are previously, they split into elites. So next step below champion. And there are six of each and you need to kill all six. But the bitch part of this is that even if you kill them, they sort of stay alive and do damage until like all of them from all colors are dead, like all 18 total. So that can end up taking a lot of time.
It can take a lot of time for multiple reasons. I mean, Squiddle, mm-hmm. do you want to explain? You were part of that fight. I think you caught it.
Yeah, I was there.
Some of the hitches that can happen with that specific phase.
Yeah, well, I mean, hitches. I mean, one thing I wanted to mention is that one thing I was doing was a short bow to the enemies, but I did not notice that normally you can see when you hit a target and it bounces around and you're getting damage on, you know, the reflections from one target to another. I didn't see that. However, I was catching on fire just way too much. So I don't know, maybe I was doing damage to the wrong ones, because I think that was one of the things. If you have a buff for a red, you do a damage to a green or a blue, you also take damage because your buff's
red. You get like sort of a feedback.
Right. So, I mean, as though I didn't see my attack actually hitting a green or a blue if I was red buffed, I probably was and didn't realize that till late. So don't do that. Key tip.
What bugged me for that fight was with that specific, that first phase and then the add-on if you fail, was initially with the opening phase, and I guess at the end you're already given the, like, Triforce full phase of red, green, blue. But with first phase, if you get like the red and you walk over the green, you get both. And then when you get all three, it combines to be this like super powerful one. In the phase we had to fight the three separate ones, if you have the red one and you accidentally walk over the green, you lose the red.
Yeah, it gets overwritten.
Which
makes it annoying for someone like Squiddle playing a shortbow thief, because one of the achievements is go the entire fight without attacking something of the wrong color.
Yeah, so that's a tough one. But then on top of that is once the things are dead, they're still around. Like if you fail the lesser ones, and they just hang around. And if you're doing range damage, or even if you're doing melee, you're likely to do splash. But I was having trouble hitting the targets near the second half of that like failed event because the other ones were getting in the way of the shots.
That's when I switched to melee.
Yeah, and I would also say that when I was doing it, if I'm not mistaken, the portals, when they do go down, were actually in random locations because they move around, I believe, also during that fight. And if you're short bowing like I did, either from a distance, you may accidentally not notice that you're buffed for green and you're now in a red bubble or a red marker. And then now you have red out of nowhere because, you know, it may be like me. I just don't pay attention always to the ground effects, maybe like I should. But it is definitely something to be, to pay attention to when you're doing that fight. So,
but yeah, it's just like, I guess to review that fight, which seems weird to say, but it was just like adding on additional fighting is already a detriment to the thing when you're on a timer, and especially at the time we were like,
this is on, I don't know, I'm not sure. I think I neglected to mention it. It's 25 minutes.
25. And so you're already racing against the clock, and then you have you have multiple, I don't want to say like bad design choices, because like maybe they intentionally chose, we want to make this because it was a failed state, but you ultimately do want the players to successfully get it because you want them to see the cutscene and have a resolution of the story. but you still want them to have that sense of challenge. So I think it was just this.
I don't think it's necessarily a bad design. I think it's just a case of I think maybe the elite holograms are a bit too big. It's
like the holograms could be big, but their hitboxes maybe could be short.
It's that it's hard to see what's going on.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Because when you get to the part where, oh God, I need to hit something very specific, you normally go to melee range. If you go to melee range, things normally get pulled on you. So you have a lot of things on top of each other with a lot of effects. So it's kind of hard to see.
Well, and those, like, the red ones are throwing like AoE fire effects everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely
it's a unique thing, like a unique problem for just that that particular state, because that's the only part where the enemy moves, really.
Yeah. But other than that, like, the fight was a lot of fun and pretty, like, very well designed.
Okay, well, assuming then you get past that point, because there's still one more part.
Yeah, the third phase.
Either if you kill all the little ones or if you kill the three big ones and get it, it's close enough together that you move on. Periodically, 20, I think, is the number. Other elite holograms will spawn, of which you don't need any buffs at all to do damage. You just do full damage. Show up, and there's two bars. One just tracks how many of the little things you've killed, and another one is like a big, giant, crazy, I don't even know, anime attack. And your goal is to kill all of the little ones before that other bar fills. Otherwise, you will all get one hit and 25 stacks of vulnerability put on you because reasons. You suck at DPS, apparently.
But basically, it's something that will, for the most part, ultimately bring everyone into a down state.
Unless you have super high health, yeah, you can block it.
I was okay with it. I survived. But what's neat about that fight is the NPCs are helping you, like
yes.
Rox, Bram, Keel.
Like everyone's favorite NPC, Helotron.
There you go. Yeah. So,
but yes, I love that little robot.
They are not fighting. This is the first time we've seen them take priority in combat from fighting to just running around healing people. And I thought that was just super good.
Yeah, because normally they'll either stand there and not have any sort of buffs and do one or two damage, if any, to the boss, then only res you if it's like sort of an out of combat situation. But there was a situation where I was not paying attention and got downed inside one of the laser fields, and Helotron strolled over, my bro, and resed me while I was in the laser. It was pretty great.
Yeah, and like,
so what were you doing at that time though that you weren't able to move? I mean, it's crazy. I've never known you have to move.
Oh, yeah. I typed slash L, so I was getting ready to talk in Say Chat, and then I thought I hit enter to close the chat window. Apparently not, so I just had a whole bunch of W's. So yeah, I died.
You dropped the base.
I dropped the base, yeah. I was basically Skrillex.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the change from healing to, or from damage to healing is, I think that's hopefully something they'll do sparingly in the future. Like fights like this, I think worked really well, but I still like to see people opting to revive when needed and when they can for most of the game. I don't know. It's a good incentive to, like, you know, you get experience for reviving, but I don't know. It's the idea of having a community effort of getting everyone up off their feet and getting back in the fight.
It's pretty neat to see, like, oh God, everyone's dead. Let me start resing people, or let me use this banner to res like five people at once.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have a need for those types of like mass res skills in open world content, because you normally don't need them anywhere outside of like dungeons or mostly fractals. Okay, so yeah, those little things. What they could have done, which I'm honestly surprised they didn't, is let's say you don't kill all of them and mega attack goes off. I was under the impression the first time we did this fight that, oh, well, shit, I guess we're not going to get anywhere with this. But they did the smart thing, and each little one that you kill takes a certain amount of health off the boss. So if you have enough time and you're not good at spreading your DPS around the arena enough to kill all of them, you can still make progress. Because this is the last phase. This goes for the last quarter of the big hologram's health. You won't get full damage, but, you know, say you kill 18 out of the 20, you'll still get most of
it. Would you rather not be timed and be more difficult, or do you think that it's okay?
The thing is, the way this game works with anyone being able to res,
okay.
There's really no such thing as a wipe when you have that many people. So, like, I've heard people complaining, like, oh, this just, you know, the timer has artificial difficulty. I'm like, no, it adds difficulty in general because, like, there's no other way to fail unless literally everyone dies.
Yeah, and the thing is, yeah. is, like, do you ultimately go to revive other people or do you leave that to the NPCs and try getting back to damage? So there is
no especially choice. With the NPCs resing, there's, yeah. like, no other way to fail other than time. Mm.
And how you manage that time is definitely a thing. So just double checking Shinboy, but after that we're going to go to the cutscene and the single player stuff, right? Is there anything else you want to add to the boss fight, or
because
I want to get the fine gentleman's opinions of the boss fight?
I think the boss fight's pretty good. What are you guys' thoughts from doing it? I guess once and failing.
I actually thought it was pretty damn good. I mean, it was fun. I will tell you that this is how I rated it, and this is kind of a stupid way, right? So playing it. Normally when I play Guild Wars, I'm a heavy vapor. I do e-cigs. And during the entire fight, not once did I grab my e-cig and vape because I was so intensely focused on the fight.
You have to be on your toes to survive.
And I loved it. I thought it was great just like being really focused in that and doing it. And I actually felt like I was making a difference. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe I was. But I had a good time doing it. And even though I got downed, able to get up as quickly with the people there in such a concentrated area. It was really fun. It was the first, I guess, as you put it, Shin, like it was like a raid style. Like a raid style.
With the way they do their instance content and the way they do their open world content and the way it sort of splits people up so you don't have maybe more than 40 people in there, mm-hmm. it's probably the closest thing that we're going to get in Guild Wars 2 to a proper raid boss. It's yeah, not like it, did it feel exactly
like a,
the same.
Did it feel like a dungeon boss to you guys?
Yeah.
It has, you know, all your trappings of your tons of ads, your big AoEs, yeah. you know,
it felt
your
like
different
a
phases.
A little bit more like longer phased, and the attack seemed to be a little bit longer on the timers. But other than that, it felt like a giant dungeon boss.
Yeah, like as somebody who has definitely critiqued or criticized Guild Wars combat to be major just kind of zerg fests in a lot of cases. It was actually really refreshing to see a boss fight in here that required, like you said, required actual attention. You need to be on your toes. I will agree that the phases definitely went way too long, but it was, if nothing else, like it was a good first attempt. Like I can't wait to see kind of where they take this going forward.
Did you do the marionette when that was around?
I think I missed the marionette.
Okay. Cause this fight is good. The marionette is the best encounter they've made.
Okay.
See, I like the marionette, but I didn't like that when I got downed in that center area with the marionette, that was it. Like, I was pretty much, I was out with, you know, the way that
don't
people
die.
But, well, thank you.
Well, also, there was a lot of focus in the marionette fight from what I've heard. I never actually got, the one I did was able to do was a bad run, but there's a lot more focus on, like, if you were down, you were a detriment. It wasn't like it wasn't a fight against the time as much as a fight against the HP or whatnot. So that was a more casual change.
Yeah, because like a bad group, say you just get a bad group of four or an unlucky group of four or five, that can screw over a good chunk of a marionette run.
I have a question I want to pose to you fine gentlemen. Based on that, you know, I don't play as often as any of y'all here, probably.
I think you play more than Durin.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mechadurin.
Sans Durin. what if, and this is a big, you know, what if, they were to make it so that you only had one chance to fight a boss for a story, you know, mission or whatever it is. And if you failed it, you could never do it again. So that you actually had to coordinate with your guildies and actually learn. I mean, I guess there would be people that would do it and fail it, and then nobody would actually really learn. But maybe there are ways to learn how to do the boss through lore, through things you would pick up, and then analyze those and then make like a solid attempt. And then that would be kind of like a way that, you know, I don't know, just making it so it's like an honor to actually complete it.
You know, you can't make especially the way they're doing, tying everything into the story, you can't make a hard succeed-fail split like that. It just wouldn't work.
No, but okay, well, let's say it wasn't the living story. Let's say it was something separate where they were to
make. I don't know. I think something where if you fail it the first time and don't get another crack at it, I think that's kind of really lame.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Especially if it's your first time in there, like, you sort of have to learn the mechanics as you go.
Well, right, but that's what I was saying, is that if they had some kind of lore, or if you were – because what I'm doing is I'm taking it out of the whole, you know, wipe and repeat type ideal of learning, and make it more of you have to really study old documents, let's just say, of the world and of this, you know, this person who learned how to fight this certain way. And then as a guild or a group, or, you know, this definitely could not be something – okay, that an individual just coming into the game could do on their own. I'm basing it on, you know, if you guild wars, you were in a guild more than likely in that aspect, and you would have to work as a guild to understand how this battle would be fought. And then understanding that, you would go in with your battle tactics and knowing, okay, if we do this, this is what should happen. And if you've studied enough, that's what will you
I'm just going to say this. This sounds like a development nightmare.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Like, it sounds like a really interesting idea, but.
Nope. I disagree 100%. It does not sound like an interesting idea.
Well, so I didn't get to the butt part, but like, when it comes to designing that, getting the payoff for that, player reception towards that, it would like be. I feel predominantly negative. Like, there would definitely be some, like, a small minority that would love stuff like that. And maybe there is something like that out in the game already, but it's just, like, so hard to find and so, like, lightly implemented.
It would be 100% impossible to properly balance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's like why I said, the reward is the most OP thing ever, but anyway.
Yeah, right.
But
it is that giant hammer that you just wear and then smash the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listening. But in terms of like this boss fight, you really had a good time with it. There, like, was there anything you'd like to see done differently, or
people actually know how to do the fight? That'd be great.
Yep.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Plus, I really want to do it a couple more times. Like I said, this is the first time I've done it, so I don't have a really good idea of what I would say I would like to see differently. Other than maybe, I don't know. I have ideas, but they may not play. I have to play it again to really get those laid out, because the idea that some of the battles between that when you're fighting the hologram, you know, I shouldn't say it's too long for the first tier. Because you have to go down to what, like half or 25%?
It's like 25%. It takes a while. It takes like almost 10 minutes.
I mean, let's make it so – just an idea, right? I'm throwing it out there. What was the one – what was the fractal fight where you get spawned in the cage and you have to like either fight or hit the cage to get out?
Oh, yeah. At the top of Cliffside when the dude can teleport you into a cage and you have to fight out of the cage.
Do that with a finite amount of people. If you get caught in a bubble, you're in a cage. Until, you know, said variable hits.
I think what might be good is something along those lines, but there was a grace period for people to, like, you know, make their way into the instance to get to the Scarlet fight or the hollow the boss fight, the hologram thing. Maybe having a small 5 to 10 with like multiple routes. So you can get like 110 of those, for example, going up the drill. So you get like – you still get the 150 people per map. And as they make their way up, they are blocked by these low HP, but the only way to damage them is to get these buffs and to like read the – like to basically you're spoon-feeding them the mechanics of the fight before the fight actually gets in. So they know what to expect.
Like that's kind of what the Assault Knights are. Like, you need to change it now, so you need the buff to do damage to those. Otherwise, you just do zeros.
I agree with that, but the boss fight in Scarlet's Lair has, like, you know, the effects where only one can be hurt by condition damage and one will reflect rain sort of thing. And you get that by reading the text underneath the boss, but it sounds like, especially from the fight we did just before recording, that some people still don't read that.
Okay, so here's my rebuttal to that, if it is true. There were three different, what did you call them, knights? I can't think of
them. Assault knights?
Assault knights. So there's three different assault knights in the Lion's Arch that you have to fight, and then once you fight that, you go to Scarlet's domain, whatever you call it. So we were fighting the red one, I believe, when we went in there. So my question is the blue and the green one the same effects of the blue, the green one, when you get up to the top? So that if, theoretically, you fought all three during different battles, that you would understand the mechanics of the three when you got up there.
Makes sense. So like,
is that
communicated well in terms of, like, it's pretty obvious, like, the boss throws up a shield and, like, it says straight on there, like, if you mouse over, it's like, oh, takes damage from conditions, when shield, only takes damage from conditions when shield is up, but people are bad at reading. Basically, I'm saying that ArenaNet is assuming their player base is smarter than they actually are.
I will say that I did not read. I will say I am the kind of person that I remember, Shin, you were saying, you know, make sure you don't shortbow them when they reflect damage or use poison. Well, when I look at it, I don't read. I will say that right now. I'm not someone that looks and sees what is there, and it makes me a bad player. But, you know, that's how I play.
Well, I mean, and also,
so
you might read that, you might get that, but then you don't know what the shield animation looks like, or you've straight up forgotten that part of it when you're 10 minutes into this fight where you're so into it, you don't even have time to smoke your vapor thing that you do steal.
my biggest thing,
sorry, I believe you mean vape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for oversimplifying it for me.
I just don't like when people are standing there with no buffs and just auto attacking. I'm like, you have to be seeing the zeros that are popping up. Like,
oh sure,
come on, you guys. Actually,
I noticed at one point I was not able to see my damage because I had my camera angled too far down.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sometimes if the boss is too big, the numbers are too high.
Yeah,
right.
So it very well could be that some of those people maybe didn't see that they weren't doing the damage.
Yeah,
yeah. And I won't say that, you know, if I'm reflecting, if they have a reflect shield up, but I'm not hitting them. I mean, I'll know. Okay, I'm not hitting them, but I'm taking damage. Okay, I get it. It's reflecting damage because of the shield. That's logical. If you don't get that, well, fuck you. You're done. Yep. I'm sorry. but the fact that, you know, if I was attacking them and they had something that wasn't damaging me, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just things.
Stuff and things.
It's hard to say things.
Stuff and things, stuff. Which is what you can expect with the single player instance following the defeat of Scarlet.
It's not entirely single player.
Well, okay, you and possibly a party.
Yeah, because if you go in after you finish the boss, which we unfortunately did not get a chance to do, you can bring your party in. But there's a way you can enter if you have the blade back piece, which we talked about last time. You can enter on your own, but you can't bring other people in. It's sort of a way to, hey, if you have this thing, you can circumvent doing the event if you just want to see how the story wraps up. At least mostly wraps up.
Yeah.
Biggest way, guys.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's different for different factions. What is it?
There's one little thing where if you're an engineer or if you're not an engineer, it says, because Scarlet is an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little thing on one of the panels in her hub, in her den, I think is actually what it's called, where it's like maybe someone with more engineering experience would be able to decipher this or something, which it says that for every profession except engineer, where it explains what it is, which I think is kind of neat.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, it's not really important. It's just a little flavor thing. I think it's kind of neat regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom. So spoilers, you guys.
Yeah, don't
I can't,
full
I can't
spoilers because reasons.
Guess what, you guys? We killed Scarlet. Surprise.
No!
Not only that, you the player killed Scarlet in actually a kind of challenging way. Almost annoyingly.
Yeah. So Scarlet's not... It's going to sound weird if I say Scarlet's not alive, but Scarlet is in the downed state.
Yeah.
you know, what you get when you die or when you lose.
Getting ready for a person to finish them.
Yes, to stomp them.
Finish them.
So this has led, and what you have to do is basically walk in there, and there's a cutscene where Marjorie, well, first of all, Arena kind of laughed at their players by Scarlet going, "Don't you want to know why I did this? Because people have been asking for months, what the hell is this person's motivation?" And then Brom just goes, "No, it doesn't matter," which I thought was kind of funny. And then Marjorie's like, "I'm just going to kill you, yada, yada, yada." And then Scarlet's just like, "This isn't even my final form," and does a big anime knockback attack.
Which, as luck would have it, for our, you know, heroic band of fighters, she manages to knock them back onto the thin catwalk railing, opposed to the wide open area that would make them fall to the, like, fans with blades on them below.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So Brom hurts his leg. Marjorie's face gets turned to bacon. It's kind of weird. And then Casimir gets hella mad because you messed with her jewelry.
Some of the writing, I was just like, oh, it hurts too much.
The writing's not bad. I just don't think Rox's voice actress is great.
Shinboy, it's okay. I know I broke my leg, but seriously, go kill that person over there so you can join your club of fighters.
I think I just had an epiphany.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my epiphany. And I have to base this on that I don't remember the original Guild Wars. I never played the first one. What was the group called that originally?
What group?
Destiny's group Edge?
Destiny's Edge.
They are not part of Guild Wars 1.
Right. Well, okay. All right.
But just, okay, yeah, keep going.
Okay. Destiny's Edge. Is this group that you're with essentially your Destiny's Edge?
It's a new Destiny's Edge 2.0.
Is it? Okay, because that's kind of – when you were talking about this, I'm like, I don't remember. Like, there's none of the original people that I remember when playing the game are in this battle, but yet you're all coming together as like a group who are triumphing. You're the
successors of Destiny's Edge, also known as Destiny's Child.
Obviously.
Yeah, that's what they're going to name themselves. One of them is actually Destiny's Child.
What?
What?
Brom. He's heirs to Gulkin's kid.
Oh, God.
Yes. Brom Airson is his last name.
Okay.
It's very hipster. Right,
so Casimir goes crazy, I think is what you were saying, Shinboy.
Yeah, she gets hella mad. She's super salty.
And then, like a game of whack-a-mole, she splits into a bunch of forms. She's like, oh, that's your final form? Check out my final form.
It's actually really great if you let it go. Because the writing here is actually pretty good, as is the voice acting, and it's pretty much a back and forth, mostly Casimir talking, of her just getting really mad and just yelling things at Scarlet and calling her Sierra, which was her name originally when she was born, and just yelling things innately at Scarlet, and it's really great.
And actually,
the
Scarlet VO I really liked with this instance, like that. Her prior stuff, the actor is really good, and like I guess she plays the role that was written, but it seemed a lot like, you know, was it Harley Quinn, Joker's girlfriend? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sort of just like campiness, and it's like, haha, mass slaughter. It's fun. Where this was more like it seemed a little bit darker, but it more realer, I guess.
It's super realistic.
I don't know. It's like, I'm pissed off that like you guys are screwing all my stuff. I'm going to start throwing grenades at you. Screw all you people.
Then she's in downstate and she suddenly gains a guardian like bubble shield and starts throwing grenades at you. And your goal is to just go up and stomp her. It's actually pretty difficult.
Yeah.
That's the power of love.
Yep.
It felt like when I finally got it, there's a point where she's like, just get it over with.
Yeah, because you can. There's an achievement for doing it before she gains like the bubble shield, but if you don't get it at that point, it will just knock you back repeatedly until Casimir is done saying all she has to say, and it'll just go away. But this has led to humorous screenshots of people using like the cow finisher. So like, there's just a cow sitting on Scarlet's face. Or like, I have the mega laser, so I love that finisher because it like thuds at a really funny angle and then lifts up and flips over and shoots a laser onto the body of whoever you just finished. So that was kind of ironic and funny considering all the lasers that are involved in this event.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. It happens and you kill Scarlet. Then there is some serious custom animation. Thurb, you want to talk about this? Because I'm pretty sure you saw this, right?
Yeah, it's like back with the tree update in Kessex Hills. I was just like, man, they are actually investing in an animation team that is going to work on like these good cutscenes. I predicted really awesome cutscenes, and this in-game cutscene did not disappoint.
We're talking about the in-game one, not the concept art looking one, right?
Yeah. Like the concept art looking one, we knew that was good. And I actually took like screenshots of that. It's like, I'm saving these because they're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And I am kind of bummed that it wasn't just like, it was a physical drill that seemed to puncture a like gas line of magic.
I'm gonna stop you. We'll rewind a bit.
Okay.
Custom animations in the cutscene between Casimir and Marjorie. Did you see that cutscene?
Yes. This is the part where...
There, the months and months of hinting at a relationship between the two finally culminates in a very romantic moment.
They just straight up kiss?
Yep. It's really cheesy. Yep. And the whole living story was worth it just for that super cheesy moment. I don't care what anyone says.
I give it 2 thumbs up.
That and the good part that like the Bran was just like, go Rox, go kill that person for your club. And Rox like, no, I'm just going to stay here, hang out.
I don't need this cool kids club.
Also use this first aid kit I found on this burn victim.
What? I don't remember that part.
The reason why Marjorie was okay was because Rox stayed behind and did first aid.
Hmm.
That's the story.
Like 4 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, there's an amazing kiss between Casimir and Marjorie that we've all seen coming for months, but doesn't mean it wasn't great.
But was like what was really great was just like Marjorie was okay, but really just Casimir, the arms were like the skeletal system was good, the facial animations were amazing.
There was one part where the eyelids looked like they were stretching a bit too far, but that's okay. That character model wasn't meant to do that.
It was good, and like I was pleased with the opening part before you kill her, where it's just them talking.
Yeah.
And then just like the Casimir part, I mean, pardon the kiss and all that, but that was icing on the cake in terms of like animation work.
Admit it there. You like the kiss.
No, it was video.
It's okay.
They're polygons.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff come out of Japan. They don't care if it's polygons or not. Sometimes they prefer it that way.
So anyway, I want to get to the artistic, fancy looking cutscene.
Yes. Okay. So it zooms in on Scarlet's face. It's suddenly way more fucked up from reasons I don't understand.
It's like she is quickly decaying or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Almost like there's magic from some other being involved. And it cuts back to the diagram, whatever, of the drill, which was shown or previously in this scene or in this confrontation.
Makes a sound similar to a microwave finishing. It's like, oops, food's ready.
The oil derrick finally hit pay dirt.
And the gas line of magic across the land.
Ley lines are a real thing. I hope people understand that. Maybe not magically speaking, but ley lines are a thing.
Yeah. Whatever. I wanted Primordius. It looks like it's not going to be.
Oh, you're bummed.
Yeah.
Basically, it hits his ley line. If people remember from previous patches, there were a whole bunch of thumpers all around the world, and people sort of figured out the locations of where they were on the map and like, okay, they're sort of forming these two lines, which are both pointing back, one's going through Lion's Arch, and they're both pointing back to this point in the Maguma Waste. Magus Falls is technically where it is. And there was one thumper under Lion's Arch which turned green, which is where this drill was. So what happened was the drill hit a ley line, finally, and released a ton of magical energy, which this cutscene shows sort of ripping the countryside in half in a lot of places. And it goes
do you actually want
to
see
jungle.
Like the countryside ripped up, like with this scar line,
like cataclysm style of just things getting severely messed up?
Yeah. Would you want that?
Sure, that'd be cool. They already did it in Kessex, so why not?
Sweet.
It all goes right. Through all the way to a jungle-looking scene and cuts slightly underground, and then you see the line ending at what looks like teeth, and then a jaw opens and there's a whole bunch of teeth and scaly mouth and dragon yell and Here Be Dragons Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yep. And scene.
So basically it's Mordremoth, which we have surmised for quite some time now.
Unless, of course, it goes way underground and Primordius just by the... Yeah, it's Mordremoth.
But this is cool because this is... These ley lines are pointing to an area that is currently not explorable on the map. So that means new zones.
Yeah. And once again, to listeners who might not know, the dragons do not leave their home. Once they, like, the one occurrence of a dragon leaving was to kill one of its kin, which was when, which is
God, Scar man, was that scene was so badass, you guys. Fucking aerial dragon battle. Read that book. That book's actually pretty good. Yeah.
So, Durin and Squiddle, we tried to let you see it first, well, quote unquote, firsthand with the, well, we failed at the boss fight, so ended up watching a video of it. What are your thoughts on the cutscenes, both, start off with the end game?
Both the cutscene and what they imply.
Yeah. The performance of it, the story of it.
I like the way it was played out. I do. I think the cinematics were phenomenal compared to some of the cutscenes that I remember. If I think back from the beginning, the cutscenes that we saw.
Yeah, with two characters on either side of the screen having conversations, not able to get a third person.
They retired those.
Well, hold on a second.
Yes, they did.
I actually enjoyed those. And so only because it was different. It wasn't what you expected. And I kind of thought it was kind of nifty. But if this is the way that they're really going to go and stick with, they're doing a damn good job, in my opinion. Yeah. So I like it. I think they did a good job. I watched the end clip, I guess the solo mission that you would do. But unfortunately, I had the volume down too low, so I didn't hear a lot. Or there maybe was not a lot after the kiss that happened.
That video was very quiet.
Okay. So I'm looking forward to actually doing that myself and seeing really what happens. And I remember even commenting to you, Shane, when I saw it, I said, so after they killed her, then she released the dragon? And what was your comment? What did you say? You said I
don't remember, in all honesty.
I think you said that the right as Scarlet died, the drill finally hit its mark.
Oh, yes, because convenience.
Convenience. And that's what caused that rift to go through the world, essentially. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that. So,
We were effectively the guys who killed the police officer 2 days from retirement.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's
dark. I know.
Yeah.
So wait, you're telling me we've had with this update we've had a cataclysmic event, an opening of a rift. When do we discover the Elder Scrolls?
I can't comment on that at this time. I believe Elder Scrolls Online is coming out in a few months here. Arguably also a few months before it should, but also a few years too late.
And actually you can comment because it's the NDA is up.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
That game's bad. Moving on.
Yeah, I mean, like so Durin, PC builder and robot enthusiast.
Green screen. I use green screen the loosely, loosest way possible.
Yes.
Green tarpus. What was your opinion on the cutscenes and just like just, you've had a loose interaction with this first living story.
I saw before Durin goes, when I said unexplored areas of the map, I through the internet saw Durin's ears perk up. So I want to know what he thinks about that.
Yeah.
That's actually the most exciting thing to me right now. Because I feel like that's.
Really? I mean, that guy who sold the green screen didn't get your hopes up over the thought of streaming with the green screen? The most exciting thing is new. Okay.
The living story crazy. Stuff was you know one thing, but this would be the first instance I feel like of some really like actually new content that might be actually compelling to play for more than a few hours for me personally. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really interested in seeing it. I'm curious to see how much of it is playable sub level 80, or if it's all just you know quote unquote in the game
I'm not sure because it is right next to two starter zones.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm curious about. Like, it'd be really cool if I could maybe bring some of the characters that I have not leveled up to max and maybe have some stuff in there to do with them.
It sort of depends on how many zones they add and like where they add them, because there's only really one instance of a starter zone being next to a max level zone, and that's in the Norn area. So currently it's sort of a natural progression. It's very hard to wander into an area where you're severely underleveled, which I think is a pretty good strength.
I mean, and it would be great if they added like three or four zones at once.
There'll definitely be more than one. At least I would like to think so.
I mean,
because they're going to have to do a whole story arc for this.
I have multiple. I have about three other characters that I would love to complete leveling up to 80. So yeah, if they opened it up so that I can go to different areas than where I originally went, that'd be awesome.
Leveling in new zones is always the best way to level.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what has me most excited about it. It's just, you know, having something different to do that I haven't already done before on other characters. But as for the cutscenes, I pretty much agree with everything that Squiddle said. Like the cinematic, like it was, you know, it was good. It was what I expect out of Guild Wars 2 cinematics at this point. So there was nothing like super spectacular about it, but it was really well done. The in-game thing is what they needed in at launch because the story would be a lot more compelling if it played out like that as opposed to
they did a whole. I'm curious because let's talk bigger picture here, right? New Dragon means the world, if you will, is moving on.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that like something big like Cataclysm, the world moved on in WoW.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that I assume when they move on from this, Zaitan in terms of lore is going to be gone. So they will need a new personal story. And they mentioned in a big long forum post like a couple weeks ago that those side-by-side conversations are completely done. Like the ones that are in there will still be in there, but they're retiring them no more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious if they're going to rework the personal story with all new cutscenes for this new big bad.
That would be crazy. What's probably going to happen is time travel because that's what happens in any MMO.
Actually, here's an idea. And to folks who are curious and new, listening for the first time for some reason, welcome. But we actually talk a lot about the idea of what an expansion would entail in the last Linking Cast episode, which was two episodes ago. But if NCSoft is okay with them not doing an expansion with this current like living story model, and they want to keep with this living story model, that means there's no paid DLC thing coming out. Which also means that if they wanted to, they could just cut out the living story stuff post level 40, so you still get the racial stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which is arguably the best stuff.
Just throw in the new living story at 40 sort of thing.
Yeah, we talked about this last time.
But like they could just cut the leg off, attach the robot one sort of thing. And
also it's a lot of work to redo it. And this sort of goes back to expansion talk. It's a lot of work to do that, but that's something that you would perhaps see in an expansion. Like I doubt they will rework the whole personal story in a living story patch. Yeah. That's not something that would happen. That would be insane.
The hard part about it too is if they plan on continuing to do the living story and with the conclusion of this one here, they decide to go in and revamp the entire personal story to fit the new timeline. That means at that point they're basically committing to doing that every time they wrap up a living story.
Yeah,
that could potentially be kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's not.
But like that's once every 14 months.
You have to recall, this living story arc lasted. It started last January and it's ending like now. So 14 months. Yeah.
Yeah, and looking at the future,
top of everything else they're doing, like to also essentially rewrite a whole new, you know, game narrative again.
Mm.
Like that's, I feel like that's asking a lot. Like that's not an easy task for sure.
I mean, what they could do is sort of, this would be kind of dumb, but I'd be kind of surprised, but also not, is they make it so in order to do like the strict personal story stuff, if they decide to go that route, and sort of release it, you know, all at once in terms of a lot of the main story bits. They can make it so you have to have finished the previous one and leave that stuff in there. Just sort of leave the continuity so you don't get weird time travel things.
What would also be good is if they piecemeal it. So like with each living story update, they also release one to three steps in the like personal story of it. But once that update has gone, the personal story stuff still remains.
So yeah, the weird thing is I don't know if they need to do a personal story for this, but yeah, my point is that even if they don't do a personal story, it's weird that the world has moved on from Zaitan to another big bad, yet the personal story is still about killing Zaitan.
Sure, but the problem we went into though, like that's an issue, like I said earlier, with any MMO that has time move on. Like even with WoW, like yeah, Cataclysm happened and they redid like the entire leveling of 1 to 60, but then you still travel back in time to Outlands and Illidan is still alive. And then,
but it's one of those things where like it's a problem that every MMO has, but no MMO has solved it well.
Eve, by just having no bosses.
Eve's timeline just runs parallel to our own. That's how they solved it.
Hey,
I do want to mention, I think I would love to see another MMO other than Eve that has it, that if I want to learn how to do backstab or, you know,
any have to have a spreadsheet open.
No, but it actually took like, you know, to learn this maneuver, it's going to take you 7 real days to learn it, as opposed to I gain a skill point level.
See, I don't want that because with the direction that, you know, the video games are going, it would be like, it'll, you know, I want to learn backstab. It'll take me 7 days to learn it. Or you can pay us $4.99 to get it right now.
No.
You know what? $2.99 if you bought the coin doubler.
I feel a better way to do that sort of system would be you learn the skill instantly, but there's a cooldown before you can learn the next skill. And I'm talking strictly on like the time it takes to learn stuff sort of thing. Like I don't know. But anyway, instead of that, just looking at the future for updates, I have no way of, you know, knowing this. I legitimately have not talked to Josh or anything, but just next month's April. Mm. So April Fool's Day. So probably the third leg of the Super Adventure Box.
Perhaps.
Also, I mean, well, Josh Foreman worked on the Marionette, so that should be 2 months until.
Yeah, he was January, so.
Yeah, so then Super Adventure Box should probably be the next update.
We also got they're going to be doing feature patches as well. They said before they start the next thing in the living story, they're going to do hella feature patches. There's one feature I want, and it is last online timer in guild rosters. How the fuck is that not a thing?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
That would be great.
I cannot comprehend how that is not a thing.
I'd love to see Keg Brawl and whatnot put into the custom arena options.
Okay.
I know it's a weird request, but it also seems like
speaking
something
of PvP,
which I've done some
segues,
world versus world
next patch. Not yet. The next patch on March 18th is going to remove glory.
Oh.
So that's not a thing.
Which actually has me really curious how the PvP activities like Keg Brawl will be rewarded, if anything. I've been doing a bunch of those lately. That and the Lion's Art stuff has been my playtime in Guild Wars.
Can I beat a dead horse?
Sure.
Okay. Guild housing.
Guild halls.
Guild halls. Okay. Housing halls. I mean,
it would be a really awesome thing, but also seems something out of left field if they added it.
Not really. It was like the main thing in the first game. That's where from your guild hung out.
Yeah, I would love it that when I logged in, I go to, you know, Lincoln Forest.
It was basically just a place where you could chat with like just guildies that had all of the services, if you will, really close to each other. Oh, that was its purpose.
Yeah, it would be weird. More than likely, it would be something that like they'll start teasing it a month or so before the release.
Also, one of the things where like it was really neat, but it's kind of not needed as much because the way zoning worked in that game, you could only add people to your party if they were in the same town.
Okay.
So it was a really easy way for runs to get started because you would all just meet in the guild hall and form a party there.
Yeah, and like it's not for a lack of people wanting it; it's because they've been coy and not talking about it. sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
they're going to do on the 18th, they're going to remove Glory, a short story epilogue to wrap things up, which I believe will give us more hints into what everyone thinks about Morgrimmoth and perhaps how they're going to tackle this. And then some other things that I don't remember. That's not important. They couldn't have been that important.
How about dance parties coming back?
Dance parties are already back.
No, but I mean like choreography, giant dance parties that are with dubstep.
Like those amazing INC Frosty videos from the first game.
I would love.
There was a Reddit thread like earlier this week of some dude trying to organize one of those.
Whatever happened to them? That guild that did that.
I don't know, but Fire of Spirit, who did a lot of the old music videos, they just released another one for Guild Wars 2, and a lot of their music videos involve Hammerfall, so they're pretty okay in my book.
Nice.
There were all told 20 different dances in the first game. There are 5 in this game, so it's not as impressive with crazy dances. Because, Jaren, you have to remember, dances were profession and gender specific.
Oh, right.
So, like, male elementalist would have a different dance than female elementalist, for instance.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All of them are pretty good.
Yep.
But that won't happen.
Do you want to talk about the Backpack of Blades again?
Oh, yeah, because we know how to finally get the crazy colors. Okay. I talked about on the last one how to ascend it, whatever. That's the thing. You get it to ascended, and you're like, this gold is boring. I want it to be red/blue/green. Know how to do that. So the aforementioned, you guys all remember from the beginning of the show, those big assault knights, right?
Oh yeah,
and the giant hammer that was wielded.
All right, when you kill all 3 of them, you get 6 champ bags and a chance at cores. I got 2 when we did it before. I got a synergetic, which is green, and I want to say a static, which is red. In order to color, they used to be they would drop from the knights themselves corresponding to the color, but that doesn't happen anymore because there's too many bugs involved with getting loot.
Thank God.
Now you need the back piece, the ascended one. You need 10 T6 dust, which you can just buy, whatever. 4 Aeolian wine, which costs like 1 gold, and then 10 of whatever cores of the color you want. So static equals red, synergetic equals green, and dynamic equals blue. And you just chuck those into the Mystic Forge, and you get your color.
Can the cores be bought or sold?
Yes.
They can
be bought and sold on the trading post, correct.
Are they going for a high price?
They are going right now, right before we recorded, around a gold each.
Then I know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow.
You need a ton of the blade shards, which you get from finishing the event, to get it up to ascended. But again, it's not too bad. It's not too bad.
Okay, I don't play a lot, but I would love to. I would love to have something new. So
yeah, it's cool because my necro, as I mentioned before, is an human tier 3 light female, and I have it dyed white celestial, and like 2 different greens. There's like a dark green, which I think just might be midnight green, and then like sort of a swampier green, like a poisony green. So I'm going to get this backpack and dye it green because it's a nice, nice poison green color, and I will be the queen of blades, basically.
You mean not abyss? You don't want to use straight abyss?
Oh, yeah, straight abyss. Yeah, no, I like to see details in my gear. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. For the record, I use mostly abyss in my gear because the specific gear is reflective, and I have 2 colors.
As long as you have a second color somewhere to accentuate details, you're good.
Like the abyss accentuates the details, which is the weird thing about it. But yeah, I see colors.
Abyss is a really good accent color. I like it as that because I like to deal when I'm doing colors. We're going to get into a bit of color theory here. I like to deal in
I was just saying, well, we're beginning the section of the Lincoln cast where it's a bunch of dudes talking about playing dress up.
Well, welcome to the Sher and Williams paint hour.
I know, Squiddle, on your thief, you're very bright.
Yeah, I have a gold, a red, a blue, and probably another orangey, goldish color somewhere.
If you look at all of my characters, literally all of them,
yes,
I have at least one very dark color and at least one very bright color.
I agree.
Because they make each other pop. So like my Necro, I have that dark green along with Celestial. On my Warrior, I have Midnight Blue and Celestial. On my Mesmer, I have – it's like a Deep Glacial Teal and Flare, which costs a lot of money. Yeah, so it goes like that. Like I have my Thief, I have like a dark blue and then like a lighter gray. A lot of blues. Like, except for my Ellie where I have a black and then – or it's like Midnight Fire and then like a brighter red. But she's green, so it works. Mm. Yeah, colors are important. Don't wear all Abyss. You're a bad person.
Yeah. Don't wear all of any one color because it all looks terrible.
Yeah, because it drowns out all the details. Like,
yeah,
what areas you can dye and what areas are like linked together in terms of like dyes are like picked that way for a reason. So
I agree.
Pay attention to your colors. It's important.
Or just go completely naked.
That works too.
Yep.
So yeah.
Oh.
Speaking of cosmetic things.
Yes.
There are new items. Welcome to, this is going to be a new segment. I've decided.
Yep.
At the end. Therb's going to try and find some music that if you're a Giant Bomb fan, you might recognize. No guarantees though. But we're going to try to. Anyway, Gem Store Stuff! ! Is the name of this segment.
I like to buy gem stuff. It makes me feel special.
In the month of March, every day, there will be one item that is on sale on the gem store.
Every day?
Every day. Oh. Check every day.
Oh, jeez.
Also, they've been doing a lot of giveaways, which is kind of cool.
As long as it's not like a buff, like you get, you know, oh, God, that'd be horrible if they did that. Like, you know, a booster pack.
But the booster packs aren't very good.
Well, nobody wants a booster pack as a discount. That's what I'm
hoping. It's a lot of like, oh, okay, today Total Makeover kits are on sale. I think actually today Total Makeover kits are the thing.
Okay.
Yeah, they are.
I have two on accident, which is a whole other story.
So those are on sale. So check back every day for sales. The weapon skins they added with this round last month, it was the Lovestruck stuff. So pretty princess weapons. This month is Tormented weapons, which... If you played Guild Wars 1 in any form of endgame capacity around Nightfall, that should make you sort of pay attention. Because those were great weapons that you could get by doing the Domain of Anguish in Nightfall. And they brought them back. Obviously, weapons like the rifle and stuff were not in the first game. So those are there. And I have an infinite amount of sadness at these weapons. Because the shield is way smaller.
Oh.
Really? It seemed like it was a pretty good size, what I saw. Hold
on. I'm going to try... Talk amongst yourselves while you're looking at these weapons. I'm going to try and find the screenshot I took the other day. Because I had I still have a Tormented Shield in the first game.
So, I was recently chatting with a Steam friend about, like, you know, hey, I do a podcast. Oh, what's it about? Guild Wars 2. Oh, man, I really like that game at the beginning, but... And I basically to a lot of the friends who have been like, oh, I used to play it, but I, you know, got done with it, had my fill. I initially bring them in with like, oh, hey, remember that City Lions Arch? Yeah, that's in rubble now. And the response has been like, oh, cool. Like, have really? And then for this guy, we had a conversation about like, oh, how is the gem store? Has it gone a free to play cesspool? And like, no, they've been pretty good with it. They've, you know, only cosmetic stuff.
I found this image.
I mean, if you look at it, I am the guy that logs in at least once a month and will drop, you know, top tier on the pay to get gems. And if I don't use it within that month, I change it into gold because at some point there's a good ratio for trade-off, decent enough. And so,
yeah, I linked my warrior in the first game with a destroyer sword and a tormented shield. And if you compare that to sort of the relative size of the shield now is way smaller and it really bums me out.
Are you wearing a turquoise bandana with?
I am wearing
a lizard crawling up your chest.
I have dragon armor.
Okay.
Dragon scale, whatever. Okay. By the way, in the background, that's Gwen. So, yes. She's sort of playing a flute. It's weird.
Wait, what?
Oh, okay. The chick in the background is Gwen. She's Mesmer Hero. But anyway, yeah, that's Tormented Shield. It's way smaller. It's kind of sad. So instead of that, I bought a Tormented Axe instead. The ones, with the exception of perhaps like a little size tweaking here and there, they did stay pretty close to the weapons, which I like because they're very nice skins. I like that they're obviously not scythes in this game, and this being Nightfall, scythes were out with the Dervish class. And I had a Tormented Scythe, which was given to me by a friend, which unfortunately my original Guild Wars account was hacked, was stolen.
Oh, man.
My shield wasn't because it's customized. Have I ever talked about the customization system on this podcast? It's crazy.
Not that I recall.
Just because the music's still probably, I'll try and keep it playing. Let's keep this, wrap this up.
Basically, I'll read it as if I was reading a manual. Do you like your weapons and want to use it on only that character and you gain buffs? Sure. Basically what it was, you could move, there's no traditional soulbind system, so you can move things between characters really easily, and you could, you know, resell rare weapons that you had if you didn't want them anymore, whatever. Unless they were customized, which meant that you could pay a very next to nothing minuscule fee, get it soulbound to that character, but would gain a 20% damage buff for that weapon. So it was pretty substantial. So my shield, since my warrior was the only one that I played periodically enough that used the shield, I had it on him. But I had a scythe that I moved around between warrior, assassin, dervish, whatever I needed it for. And since that obviously was not customized, it got stolen and I was sad. Anyway, it was my sob story. They reworked the scythe blades into the staff skin. I think it's staff skin. So that's kind of cool. What else we got? There's an eye patch. If you want to be a pirate.
I like pirates.
No, Squiddle likes pirates. That's 400 gems, I believe. Also,
I wish I wouldn't have sold a train for them.
You'll have to buy more gems.
No.
The tormented weapons are the one Black Lion ticket item, by the way. But we got to get that Black Lion ticket. Eye patch is 400 gems. Captain Magnus of Lion's Arch, he lost an eye in the attack. Now has an eye patch, so it's modeled after that. We have Scarlet's Champions minis. It's a 3-pack of the aforementioned champions, not the Assault Knights, the ones like the Weapons Dude and the Spider and all that are around the city. You get 3, and you can combine them in the Mystic Forge with something that I don't remember and get a miniature Scarlet. Those are 500 gems, I believe. And then for 800 gems, you can get this month's finisher, which is the Guild Shield finisher, which I am actually going to buy in all likelihood. Pretty much you stomp your enemy. It brings down 3 swords that sort of form like a cross and a shield with your guild's emblem on it. So more reasons to have your guild have a good emblem. So that means, Squiddle, exciting news for you. You can stomp people with the Black Sparrow of Time.
Yes, the Black Sparrow. It flies and it will haunt you to the day you die.
So yeah, it's 800 gems. I'm probably going to buy it. It's pretty neat. If you have no guild, if you're not repping any guild, I don't remember what happens. They explained it, but I don't remember.
It's giant bunny rabbit. That's all you
get. It's not important.
You get a bunny rabbit. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I believe, and they sort of reorganized some things. Like minis don't have their own tab. They sort of move like all of the instruments and minis together in a toys tab. It's pretty much anything that doesn't actually do anything outside of just for fun.
I just want to say with the minis, one thing that I didn't realize when I logged back in after my long hiatus is that I liked it when I could just right click and just dump all my stuff into my collectibles. And it really annoyed me. I guess I'm maybe the only one that annoyed me when my minis did not go back into my collectibles when I right clicked and just say
deposit. But you can still right click deposit them individually.
Yeah, but I like the whole right click and everything deposited.
Oh no!
Yes, but some people like to keep certain minis with them, and that was the biggest hassle for them.
Yeah, sure. This is a minor get an invisible bag just to keep a mini pet.
Yeah.
Well, I have 4 invisible bags. I guess that's
why. How do you merge
this
thing?
That's probably your reason for having things not immediately deposit collectible.
You mean the fact that I still have Winter's Day stuff from the first Winter's Day and I bought an extra bank slot because I don't want to get rid of them?
Hey, by the way, a lot of those weapon skins are worth a lot.
Oh, that's why I have a lot of bank slots. I'm an entrepreneur in time.
Yeah, that is this week's or this episode's gem store stuff!
Very nice.
I think this stuff. That's we pretty much went over everything on this show notes. We got through a lot.
We did very well, in fact.
I think Jared might still be muted.
What was that?
Oh, never mind. I was wrong. Move on to plugs.
All right. Squiddle, do you have any plugs? Or do you would like to plug your Twitter, I guess?
Mr. Squiddle on Twitter. Post random stuff. In fact, the other day I saw a swag shirt that I posted, and I thought it was just horrible for a 9-year-old to be purchasing, and it was in a store for a 9-year-old or those ages.
To clarify, it says, "My swag is epic."
Yeah.
Wow.
So you cannot. That's like giving yourself your own screen name, your own handle.
Yeah. No one man should have all that swagger.
Exactly.
You're not allowed to pick your own nickname. That's not how nicknames work.
Exactly. And you cannot pick your own swag. People have to say that's swag. Wow. Anyway, I'm going to go away from this entire conversation about that.
So what's the Twitter?
Mr. Squiddle.
Oh, okay.
On Twitter, Mr. Squiddle.
You start off with a story and not with a name.
I never know where I begin or end sometimes.
If you have any questions for Squiddle, any at all, like perhaps, you know, what his employment is, how old he is, what have you, rather than text me,
Social security number.
ALS, just, you know, shoot it to me and I'll give you all the information.
Yeah.
But I also want to plug, I'll wait for Shin to do that. That's his thing. So
sure. It doesn't matter.
All right.
Squiddle and I, along with our mutual friend, Tyler, did a second episode of the metal podcast, which has been named Headbangers Baller Time. Dumb play on that old MTV show, Headbangers Ball, along with a giant bomb twist.
I approve.
I forgot. It's been so long since we recorded that. I forgot what we actually talked about. We talked about baby metal.
Baby, yeah. Curiously?
Strangely Attracted.
Strangely Attracted. That is what I named the.
That's the name of the episode?
Yeah.
It says, if you just Google Headbangers Baller Time, episode 2, Strangely Attracted, or any part of that, except for maybe the episode 2, you get a lot of Star Wars nonsense that you don't want.
Yeah.
Find that. Yeah, give that a listen. We'll probably be recording a new one soon, and then we probably, in terms of our fourth episode, won't do it until we go to that show in April.
Yeah, then we'll probably do it that night, coming back maybe. Like,
oh, God, no. I'll be so tired.
Oh, okay. We'll do one during it, during the show.
During the show, yeah.
Hey, guys, the show's awesome!
We'll sit down, have a nice, calm conversation, find a table somewhere in the club.
Yep.
So hey guys, if you want to follow me on the Twitterverse, my Twitter handle is Matt_Leslie, LESLIE 35. Hit me up. Twitter. It's a thing.
It's good times.
Yeah.
Durin?
Also, my music plug for this week.
Oh, yeah. Music plug. I almost forgot. Good Lord.
Almost forgot.
I did forget.
Sent this to Squill. Third listened to a bit of it. Is a band, and I sent the album cover at least to Durin. From a band called Tengger Cavalry. They are a, wait for this, North Asian nomadic folk metal band. They are from Beijing, and most of their songs involve lyrics that have to do with like Mongolian themes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they are, if Genghis Khan had a personal metal band, it would be them.
Yeah.
They have multiple, not one, but two horse head fiddle players. It's pretty interesting. It's basically if you took more of a death metal style of folk metal, similar to something like Inciferum, and added a lot of like Asian or Chinese style string to it. It's fairly interesting and different. And the album is called Ancient Call. So that's my music plug for this week.
I will back that with another two I actually have now for this week on the same ideal plugs. The first one is going to be that I'm sad that I found this. I really am. I'm sorry that I am telling this to people who have never heard it yet. But There's a new rap album out, guys.
Oh, what is...
Oh, the Game of the Year rap album? That's what the show notes say.
Yeah, it's... well, somebody mistyped that. It's actually... it's the Game of Thrones rap album.
Wow. Guys.
Yeah, there's... So there's a new rap album out. It's about all the Khaleesi and all the other crazy stuff that happens.
Oh, you mean the Song of Ice and Fire?
That's right. That's right. And it is, it's I haven't listened to it. I'm just mentioning it. Listen at your own risk, honestly. But that was just horrible that I found that. On a brighter note of things, as many of you, maybe if you've listened to other episodes of the Scotch Cast or the Headbangers Baller Time, I do collect vinyls and purchase vinyls mostly now instead of CDs and digital music. And one of the recent ones that I picked up was In the Company of Serpents, a new band that they actually have a Bandcamp site out there, and they have a vinyl for sale that you can purchase. Doom metal, if you're into doom metal, they're actually really good. Even if you're not into doom metal, it's got some pretty good riffs, pretty good tracks
doom
on
metal,
there.
Doom metal is one of the not as approachable metal subgenres, though, I would have to say.
No, I agree. Yeah, definitely. But it's something, if you, for me, I just put it on and kind of lay back and just like let it wash over me, and I can, I can respect it for that. But give it a listen. It's free to listen to all their tracks on Bandcamp. We'll have a plug in the show notes for it. But definitely would recommend it. So that's my plug.
All right. Probably open this show notes text file that I have and write these down.
That's crazy. Before I forget. Make me do all the work. It's fine. Duren.
Man, I usually don't have any kind of plugs.
I'll plug baby metal.
I mean, like, how about as a person who recently purchased, let's say, a green screen, as some may call, possibly, yes, you know,
some may call it that.
A green cloth.
Your Twitch, your Ustream.
I would like to,
MySpace.
My Justin TV page.
Snapchat.
Where?
God. My Vine page.
Yeah, what's your Vine page?
Oh, God, yes. I'm working towards becoming a Vine celebrity.
Vine removed all sexual
Vine
liberty.
Content. They did. Really a bummer. They did, I was sad.
They removed what now?
Like, they're no longer allowing sexual content on Vine. It's a real bummer.
Then what's the point?
Yeah.
Exactly. Everyone was like, well, uninstalling Vine.
I'll plug the Twitch. It's just twitch.tv/Duren. I'm not sure. I really hope I can get something streaming this weekend. But I'm going to a kid's birthday party tomorrow. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll do something Sunday.
I like that you specified that you were going, not your family.
Well, there's this whole thing.
He's the clown that he dresses up and, plays with all the children. I mean, entertains all the children.
I thought it was the, you know, let's just get off this. All right, let's go.
I don't know.
So yeah, twitch.tv/DOURIN.
Yeah, DOURIN. I definitely plan on doing a lot more streaming, or as much as my noisy kids will allow. Mm. I need to get back to finishing Dead Space 2 and Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs. So I'm going to get back into doing that, especially now that I have a webcam that doesn't just destroy my computer. So there's that too.
It is a nice webcam. Good job.
So yeah, I will plug that, and everybody should go buy and play South Park. It's a great game.
It's for another podcast altogether.
Yeah, that'll be we'll have an in-depth talking about that on the Scotchcast probably. Mine, I guess you could follow me on Twitter, though I post once in a blue moon. I think I'm at Connor Kirby. Yeah, at Connor Kirby. We'll see that. Well, actually, my plugs are going to be like, if you're in the DayZ, at least the watching part, or really just like these guys do really good stuff. We talked about them before. The Idle Thumbs, twitch.tv/Idle Thumbs. Check one of the VODs. They had this weird, they called it the Least Dangerous Game, where two of the Idle Thumbs co-hosts got on their server and basically made this weird rule that as fresh spawns, they had one of them had to kill the other.
And oh, right, yeah.
Everyone else on the server, if they tried to harm, restrain, hurt like one of these two guys, they got banned from the server for this, you know, brief time period. And the only help they could get was from the Twitch chat that they were watching. They couldn't watch the other person and see where they were. And it was, it's this 2 hour long, like, craziness of just like spies, betrayal, and it's just like just all the horrible things you come to expect from DayZ, but it's just like hyper concentrated on this stream. So that's one thing. Or if you want to watch British people who are either former or active games journalists, the Creighton Crowbar podcast on YouTube, they are playing Dark Souls, which I think that will be my venue for that train on fire. I'm just going to watch them play it full playthrough.
The train on fire, Dark Souls.
And then it'll probably continues. Come April, probably end up getting Dark Souls 2.
Yeah. I love how like all of games media has suddenly discovered Dark Souls.
Long, I knew about Dark Souls
after it came out. No, no, I said the gaming media. I don't believe you are a part of the gaming.
We media. We are the games media.
Yeah, we are games journalism's right here.
I don't know about you.
Is my E3 pass.
It's in the mail.
No,
the
we're just, we're okay. going to mail. We're going to E4.
Yeah,
that's the exclusive one.
All right,
it's actually held
let's
in
to, screw E3. Let's go to Gamescom,
Wisconsin,
in the Germany.
Yes.
LA sucks. Germany's great.
God, have my Venus schnitzel. Yeah. So,
thanks for listening. Actually, hey, yeah. Guys, I want to say thanks for listening because...
You know what?
We ramble.
Yeah. Thanks.
We appreciate you guys listening.
I hate to be one of those podcasts, but if you like us, throw a positive review our way. If you hate us, that's cool too.
Yeah, those really help. And especially since...
Like and subscribe to my channel.
Yeah, I guess it's okay to say that the Cynic will probably – he's going on a hiatus right now doing something.
He's doing military stuff.
Yes, he is doing military stuff. So I guess
–
if you want to kill
Australian
Cynic,
military stuff.
He's going to come back and be the best.
If you want to kill Cynic, have your country start a war with Australia and you might just get your chance.
Yeah, that checks out. But yeah, it's so we will be trying to update the – you know, the official stuff. It's we're cheap and only pay for
I man the Twitter most of the time.
Yes. At the LincolnCast on Twitter. We never mentioned that. At the LincolnCast on Twitter. I don't know.
Set up on my phone so I get notifications from my personal Twitter and from at the LincolnCast. So.
And we post whenever the episodes come out and a few other things around the time.
Automatically.
Yes. We really need to end this. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Big metal.